Welcome to On the Road to No Place Left. This is Feeney, and I'm driving. As we learn to share the gospel, make disciples, and reproduce leaders and churches until there is no place left where the name of Jesus hasn't been heard. I'm excited to have Steve Addison share about his latest book. It's called Your Part in God's Story. It's going to be available March 2021, which, depending on when I get this out, is pretty quick. So let's just jump right in and hear from Steve about his latest book. Steve, so thankful that you're joining me today to talk about your new book, Your Part in God's Mission, or Your Part in God's Story, excuse me. I always think of the mission that God's on to say that. I wanted to say a particular thank you because it was about 2 years ago that I decided to try my hand at podcasting. And one of the things that helped me feel like I was actually doing something besides just playing around on my computer was you were willing to do an interview with me. So thanks for helping me with that.
Well, I'm enjoying that podcast, so keep it up.
All right. Yeah, and I'm excited to hear. I know a little bit about it, but we'll just have you share just about this new book that you're about to put out. So thankful for a couple of your other books that really helped me on my journey at different times. I'll just let you kind of start. Just tell us a little bit about your new book and even the story to get to it.
Okay. Well, it was sort of my COVID book. So only about a year ago, you know, we're all locking down and stuff and jumping on Zoom, and we're doing training all over and a few months of that sort of frantic activity. And I thought, why don't I just stop and ask the Lord, what's this time about for me? You know, what should the priorities be? And I really felt he challenged me to get working on this book. I guess a lot of authors are going to have COVID books, and this is mine. It's Your Part in God's Story, 40 days from Genesis to Revelation. But it had been sort of brewing away within me really for about the last 4 or 5 years. I was really struck by this just winsome story of Jesus rising from the dead. And there he is on the Emmaus Road sneaking up on a couple of his disciples and asking some questions, getting them all agitated and saying, you know, don't you know anything? And then he makes himself known, but only after he's taken them from Genesis to Malachi, you know, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, explaining why the Messiah had to come and suffer and die, rise again, and why this gospel for the forgiveness of sins is going to go to the ends of the earth. And, well, that's partly what he explains on the Emmaus Road, and then he appears back in Jerusalem, you know, springs himself on the disciples there. Mm-hmm. And it just got me thinking. For some reason, for a long time, I was just captivated by this stories in Luke 24. And it sort of hit me that, you know, these disciples are a little bit like us. They've really let the Lord down. I mean, they're coming off serious failure here, mm-hmm. you know, running in fear, denying him, all of that. And these are the guys he's trained over 3 years. And you sort of think, well, you know, I tell people, you know, just imagine being trained by Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. and you'd think that would be enough. And yet he knows what's coming. He wasn't surprised by their failure. So this is part of him shaping them mm-hmm. to fulfill this great missionary task. Even their failure is factored in as far as Jesus is concerned. So how does he restore them and get them ready for the task? And then the coming of the Spirit and let's go. Mm-hmm. Well, and this was the surprise for me because, you know, I often say if Jesus appeared mm-hmm. To me, and you know, physically in this room, I would want him to speak and just talk to me about stuff. I'd be writing it down, you know, recording. You know. But what he wants to do is, Steve, get out your Old Testament. Mm. I'd like to take you through it. There's some stuff you've been missing. And it says he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. So, you know, this is how he restores. He forgives them and all of that, but he restores them and gets them ready for the mission by helping them see the whole purposes of God, you know, God's story throughout the whole of Scripture, and then their part in it. And then Spirit comes in power. They hit the ground running with the core missionary task. So I thought, okay, if this is what his disciples needed, then surely all the more we need it today.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go that journey? So for a number of years, I was just working through cover to cover, you know, both my own reading and just reading the best sort of writers on both Old and New Testament, trying to get a grasp on this incredible story of God's plan of salvation. And also with that, though, because part of what Jesus is explaining, because it's 40 days, is the missionary task he's giving them, that the gospel's going to go to the Gentiles, to every people group. So that's sort of the 4 or 5 year journey I was going on, and this book was brewing away in me, and then COVID came, and that was one of the blessings that came out of COVID.
Yeah, and I appreciated the chance to look at it. It's actually a different feel, I would say, than some of your other books. Why choose 40 days? Because that lent the book to feel a lot different than your other books, where you just kind of, it's a sit-down read.
Yes, and, it's a different sort of book. One of the things I really felt was we want this to be discovery in the scriptures, because people learn things far better and own them if they discover for themselves. I took out anything referring to here's the strategy, you know, we talk about the four fields and here's the skills you need. Let me tell you about the skills and all of that, because that's in the other books. And I thought, let's just approach the scriptures with an open mind and see what jumps out at us. Now, I did, you know, in each of my, what I've written as a reflection on each reading, I did make sure that sort of did highlight some things and tied all the stories together over the 40 days. But why 40 days? Well, it's really that Luke tells us, I think it's in Acts 1, that Jesus is teaching them over a period of 40 days. So I just picked that up. You know, I think I might have started with 30 days, and I can't do this. You know, there's just so much to cover, you know. But if we did 365 days, well, no, a lot of people would struggle with that sort of time commitment. But most of us can imagine setting aside, you know, at least half an hour over 40 days, even if, you know, some people do it Monday to Friday and have a break on the weekends. But 40 days is a doable thing. So that's why we structured it that way. But, yes, you're not going to, you know, get a whole lot of strategy and skills and history and all. That's the other books. This one, just prayer, reflection, the scriptures. Let them speak, and then there's room in the book for you to write out your reflections and to make commitments. There's also the suggestion that, you know, most of us, you know, will do this individually most of the time. But it would be great once a week to get together with others doing the 40 days and share the learning and do one of the studies together as a group. So we've built in that group dynamic that you can do the 40-day, we call it the 40-day challenge, as a group. I'm doing some of them again myself. We were recording like a webinar. So we got a few people together and we did the first study to show people how you could do it as a group. And I'm just amazed. You know, I've read commentaries on this. I've studied this my whole life. And new stuff or fresh stuff is jumping up out of the pages of Scripture. So even an old guy like me can benefit.
What do we, as a general Christian, the Christian community, normally get wrong about our part of God's story, about God's mission? Just any thoughts there, and where we are off?
I think some of us take on too much of the ultimate burden and feel like, you know, it's all up to me. The amazing thing is just how God keeps coming through and choosing unlikely people, but he doesn't leave them there, you know. So he'll choose someone like Abraham, but then over time he's shaping Abraham. You know, what does Abraham do to deserve all the promises of God? Well, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, but the Lord is going to go to work on Abraham and shape him and teach him. And the high point of that is this incredible story, in many ways, very hard to understand story of where Abraham has got to take the child of promise and offer him up, offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. And there's a lot I don't understand about that whole incident. But what you do see is God is shaping his heart. You know, now I know, Abraham, that, you know, you're willing to trust me to express your faith in obedience. And this is the sort of person I want to be the father of a nation that will be a blessing to the world. So it sounds funny, but in one sense, you know, Abraham, don't take yourself too seriously, because this is the choice and action of God, and he will follow through. And another side, well, Abraham, you better take it pretty seriously, because God's going to go to work on you. He's going to shape you. And, you know, I think a lot of practitioners, maybe the guys more than the girls, we tend to think if we just get these right principles, we'll make this thing happen. You know, it's all a matter of science and engineering and maybe just amount of work and prayer that we put in. There's another part of this that Paul just says, you know, hey, this isn't a miracle what God has done. And, you know, I just like to glory in my weakness. And yet God's shaping Paul. So these two things are going on. God's purposes, his story, his mission is unfolding. And he's taken charge. You know, Jesus rose from the dead. He still leads the way. You know, it's not like he's abdicated. He's ruling from heaven, and his spirit and his word, they're stirring things up. And yet he's chosen us to play a part and draws us into that, shapes our hearts, oversees our development in our skills. You know, like when he chooses the first disciples, he says, come follow me. I'm going to teach you how to fish. He's still doing that. He's still teaching us and shaping how we do the ministry. Sometimes we get surprised as practitioners about, Lord, why are you so preoccupied with shaping me? We got to get this job done. You know, Paul's in prison, or maybe you're in hospital, or maybe that visa is denied, and you're thinking, God, get your act together. You know, and he's saying, No. I will get this done, but I've chosen you to play a part. So find out what it is, and allow me to use you, visa denied, visa given. Either way, you find your part in this story. It's a wonderful freeing thing and I'm sure that's what was going on for the disciples as Jesus is taking them through the whole story of Scripture, and Jesus is finding his own story in the story of Scripture. That's why he understood why it was he had to suffer and die and then rise.
That does remind me how we have a tendency. I mean, I think a year ago, as the pandemic started, was a good picture into my own life and many others, where it's just you scramble and you try to do more. When what you said, you had that period of going, well, actually, God, what do you have for me? That's really just the
And then I had to work pretty hard on the book. So there's still that hard work side. That's, you know, and it's hard work if you're Paul in prison, even if it's not physically hard, it's tough. But to rest in the sovereignty and plan of God, to find, well, what am I doing here, Lord? Mm-hmm. You know, I think of another one of the stories that really encouraged me was Jonah. Mm. You know, Jonah's call comes. he runs the opposite direction all the way he's headed. I want to get to Spain. And, you know, sometimes people paint Jonah as a bit of a racist. He didn't like those Assyrians. Well, I've done a bit of research on those Assyrians. They were cruel. Mm-hmm. They were crueler than the cruel. And they would boast about it in their official records, how what they did to poor, not just soldiers, but civilians, men, women, and children. And so Jonah runs the opposite way, and yet God has a plan. So, you know, we'll summon up the fish and all of these things will go wrong in your life, Jonah. Well, let's find a security in that, that if we run from the will of God, he's going to chase us and want to turn us around. And so the story of Jonah isn't just the story of the conversion of Nineveh. It's the story of the conversion of the missionary. You know, Jonah's the biggest obstacle here. And yet, even at the end of the book of Jonah, it's just a short four chapters, it's not resolved. You know, God's asking questions, saying, shouldn't I care for this great city? And then the book ends. And it's left hanging there with God asking his messenger, you know, shouldn't I care even for the violent, cruel Assyrians that they might turn and believe? So those stories encourage the heart. They give us, they ought to encourage us in our weakness at times, that our confidence would be in a great God who will not leave us alone and has a part to play in his story.
To relate it to some people that I've been interviewing, just finding people that are seeing churches form out of lostness, not traditional. What we may be easy to say, hey, leave the church planting to the professionals. Yeah, invite people to a service for us. But I'm just unearthing these stories of just everyday believers taking the call, not only to share the gospel, but to disciple people and gather them into churches. Where would you see that kind of your book speak into that? That any believer gets that part. It's not just the Peters and the Pauls that we've mentioned, but there's others as well.
Let's remember that certainly the Peters didn't start out as some big name leader. Right. They were just ordinary people, both men and women who were following Jesus, and he called them to follow, to make him their Lord. And he promised to teach them how to fish for people. And that following and fishing call is to every disciple. And, you know, you read the Great Commission, and we spend one of the studies is on the Great Commission. You know, it's given to every believer, the call to make disciples. And now not every believer is going to get to go to the ends of the earth, but we're part of a missionary movement. And we have our part to play. Then you see in the book of Acts, you see how the Spirit comes on not just the 12, the Spirit comes on all the people of God, and they're boldly proclaiming God's goodness. Or in the prayer meeting in Acts 4, I love that time after Peter and John are released, and every believer is speaking God's word boldly and in power. And then you see how some of those breakthroughs in the first half of Acts, second half of Acts, more focus on Paul. But in the first half of Acts, you see, oh, my goodness, you know, the gospel starts getting out and popping up in all sorts of faraway places. And the apostles are saying, let's catch up to what God's doing through ordinary people. So that's a recurring theme. Even for Paul, you know, he's there for, I think it's I can't remember the exact time, but a bit less than 3 years in Ephesus. Luke gives us a pretty strong impression. He's just there evangelizing and proclaiming the gospel in the school of Tyrannus and based in the city of Ephesus. But the gospel's getting out to the whole of Asia Minor, and that's happening through ordinary people. Churches are being planted that we don't know the name of because they're just in some little town outside of Ephesus. Or in Hierapolis and Laodicea and Colossae, where Epaphras was. So that theme of, you know, the priesthood of all believers. It just keeps recurring. Now, and God does raise up leaders from amongst them. We just need to remember, where did those leaders get their start? And it wasn't in, it wasn't being by declared a bishop or something, someone's theological college. It was just ordinary people.
I wonder if there's any particular study that speaks to the current season that we're in. It'd be easy to say, well, yeah, we have a part in God's story, but we probably just need to hunker down. I mean, in my area, the pandemic seems to be getting better, but then anytime I turn on the news, you can hear about places that are continually getting worse or worse again or worse for the first time. So I guess how can we really, the question in my mind is how do we really join God's mission, join our part in his story with so much uncertainty going on?
We dropped into, in the studies, one of the studies, we looked at what Jesus said about persecution in Gospel of John, in one of his farewell discourses. And, you know, you read that, and there's a lot of the people of God around the world who would immediately identify if they're outside the West, not just being on the outer, but, you know, violent persecution. And you read that, and Jesus sort of saying, guys, this is sort of how it is, you know. Or we also drop into, I think it's Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the end times. And by end times, he means from his day through to when he returns. It's a whole era of the mission of the church. And he says, trouble, guys, you know, earthquakes, persecution, famines. So we shouldn't be saying, well, we've got to hunker down, it's COVID. We ought to be saying, oh, more's coming. You know, more trouble is coming. Let me promise you that. I mean, it's in the Bible. Paul says in Acts 14, I think it is, you know, through many hardships, we'll enter the kingdom, you know, in its fullness at the end of time. So normality is, it's not the whole of life, and it's not the whole of following Jesus, but the recurring experience of believers around the world right now is battle and hardship. And it's not something we're used to. I wonder, and I'm not predicting dates and times, I'm just wondering whether the Lord will continue to shape the Western world. And this is something he does, and you get to, I mean, we all love that story of Isaiah where he has the vision of God's glory in the temple, but it comes in a time where God is shaking, you know, Assyria's on the rise and threatening Judah, the king has just died. Isaiah has this lovely message of judgment on God's people because they've turned their back on him. In the midst of that, he sees this vision of God in his glory on his throne. And we love to camp there. We forget the context. The context was awful of what Isaiah was part of. And what sustained him is this vision of God and his purposes in history, God's story. And then Isaiah is finding his part in God's story. And guess what? It's to proclaim a message to hearts that are hard. And Jesus picks up the same when he's teaching, and we do the parable of the sower. He picks up that from Isaiah, I think it's from Isaiah 6, where Isaiah gets his commission to proclaim the gospel to hard hearts. And Jesus says, this is what, parable of the sower, guys. There are hard hearts out there. It's tough proclaiming the gospel. But look for the fourth soil person. So once you get a picture of the grand sweep, you're not locked in just to your moment in history. Oh, it's COVID, or, oh, we've got, I don't know, strife with China, or there's political turmoil in US politics, or a culture war going on. All of these things, and Isaiah is just flat on his face before God, the living God in the temple. And, you know, Psalm 2, which we look at, you know, why do the nations rage? You know, God's on his throne working out his purposes. So let's get busy. Then we jump into Revelation, and it's jaw-dropping. We've got three studies in Revelation. And now, you know, the curtain is pulled back on history. And in Revelation, it's also a battle. It's mm-hmm. also hard. There's suffering, there's martyr, all of that. But Jesus is risen. He is glorious. He's coming in power. God will sum up all things in him. You know, we'll be standing before the... I'm preaching now. We'll be standing before the throne with people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, worshiping the living God, the Lamb that was slain. And we'll forget about these. I mean, COVID will be a bump in the road. We won't even bother about it then.
Good. Yeah. Thanks for bringing us to Revelation. That's good. Do you want to just give us details for anybody that's interested of how to find out more, stay in touch for when the book will come out?
There'll be all sorts of links on movements.net. The thing I'm challenging us to do, and I'm going to do it myself, is the 40-day challenge. So that's at movements.net/40 days. And so you go the journey with others in terms of let's commit, and you might start when the book comes out just before Easter. It'll be out, you know, by the end of March. Or you might start a few days later or a week or a month later, but let's go this 40-day challenge, writing out your reflections each day, maybe meeting once a week for about 90 minutes with others. So you can sign up for the 40-day challenge. And if you do that, you'll get an email every day from me during your 40-day challenge, encouraging you, reminding you some of the things, giving also as you move through the studies, you know, what's next now? This has been about seeing the great story of God throughout all of scriptures, finding your part in it. Well, what's next practically? You know, you will need to jump into some training, some action. If people go to movements.net, they'll find links to all of that.
I guess I would just end by asking, what are you hoping the average reader that would pick it up, what are you hoping they leave with? What are you hoping they can take away into their daily walk with the Lord, their daily life?
I want them to be different people, like those first disciples who are very aware of where they failed the Lord and their limitations, you know, being given a task that is impossible for them to do. Mm-hmm. A bunch of fishermen, a couple of tax collectors and something. And yet they've met the risen Lord Jesus. And I want people, as they step through the 40 days, I want them to know that Jesus is opening their minds to understand the scriptures. Who he is, what he's done for them, what his mission is in this world and our part in it. And if we can do that, you know, and we can be confident because the same risen Lord is available to us through the Holy Spirit, through his word. So that's my prayer for everyone who does the 40-day challenge, everyone who reads, you know, your part in God's story.
Be sure to check out the show notes to find out more about your part in God's story. You can find those at ontheroad.link. That's ontheroad.link. You can also leave a comment or ask a question there. Also, if it's easier, use 321-209-3899 to text or call. This is Feeney. Thanks for listening. The On the Road podcast is to encourage you to share the gospel, make disciples, and reproduce leaders in churches until there's no place left where the name of Jesus hasn't been heard.